right. Our Sunday Playhouse production on Radio 4 this afternoon is a famous Nell Coward comedy, which the author once described as an improbable farce.
Blithe Spirit by Noel Card, with Paul Eddington as Charles Condamine, Julia McKenzie as Ruth, Anna Massey as Elvira, and Peggy Mount as Madame Arcati.
Put the drinks on the table over there, Edith.
Yes, Mum.
Did you manage to get the ice out of those little tin trays?
Yes, Mum. I had a bit of a struggle, though, but it's all right.
And you filled the little trays up again with water?
Yes, ma'am.
Very good, Edith. You're making giant strides.
Yes, ma'am.
Now, Madame Arcati, Mrs. Bradman and I will have our coffee in here after dinner, and Mr. Condamine and Dr. Bradman will have theirs in the dining room. Is that quite clear?
Yes, ma'am.
And when you're serving dinner, Edith, try to remember to do it calmly and methodically.
Yes, ma'am.
As you are not in the Navy, it is unnecessary to do everything at the double.
Very good, ma'am.
Now, see if you can help cook in the kitchen.
Yes, ma'am.
Not at a run, Edith.
Oh, 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 sorry, sir.
No, my fault, Edith. My fault. I was in your way.
Yes, sir. No, sir. I mean...
Oh. No sign of the advancing hordes?
No, not yet. I've been trying to discourage Edith from being quite so fleet of foot. You mustn't mind if everything is a little slow motion tonight.
I shall welcome it. The last few days have been extremely agitating. What do you suppose induced Agnes to leave us and go and get married?
The reason was becoming increasingly obvious.
Yes, but in these days nobody thinks anything of that sort of thing. She could have popped into the cottage hospital, had it, and popped out again.
Her social life would have been seriously undermined.
We must keep Edith in the house more. A dry martini, I think, don't you?
Yes, darling. Expect Madame Arcati will want something sweeter.
We'll have this one for ourselves, anyhow.
Oh, dear.
What's the matter?
I have a feeling that this evening is going to be awful.
It'll probably be funny, but not awful.
Well, you must promise not to catch my eye. If I giggle, and I'm very likely to, it'll ruin everything.
No, you mustn't. You must be dead serious, and if possible, a little intense. Can't hurt the old girl's feelings, however funny she is.
Why the Bradmans, darling? He's as sceptical as we are. He'd probably say those dreadful things.
I've warned him. There must be more than three people, and we couldn't have the vicar and his wife, because A, they're dreary, and B, they probably wouldn't have approved at all. It had to be the Bradmans. Here. Try this. To the Unseen.
I must say, that's a wonderful title for a novel.
If this evening's a success, I shall start on the first draft tomorrow.
How extraordinary it is.
What?
Oh, I don't know. Being in right at the beginning of something. Used Elvira to be a help to you when you were thinking something out, I mean?
Every now and then, when she concentrated. She didn't concentrate very often.
I do wish I'd known her.
I wonder if you'd have liked her.
I'm sure I should. She sounds enchanting. You know, I had never for an instant felt in the least jealous of her.
Poor Elvira.
Does it still hurt when you think of her?
No, not really. Sometimes I almost wish it did. I feel rather guilty.
I wonder if I died, if you'd forget me so soon.
Oh, what a horrible thing to say.
No, I think it's interesting.
Well, to begin with, I haven't forgotten Elvira. I remember her very distinctly indeed. I remember how fascinating she was, and how maddening. I remember how badly she played all games, and how cross she got when she didn't win. I remember her gay charm when she'd achieved her own way, and her extreme acidity when she hadn't. I remember her physical attractiveness, which was tremendous, and her spiritual integrity, which was nil.
You can't remember something that was nil.
I remember how morally untidy she was.
Was she more physically attractive than I am?
That's a very tiresome question, dear, and fully deserves the wrong answer. I was devoted to Elvira. We were married for 5 years. She died. I missed her very much. That was 7 years ago. I have now, with your help, my love, risen above the whole thing. Now, that'll probably be the Bradmans.
It might be Madame Arcati.
No, she'll come on her bicycle. She goes everywhere on her bicycle.
It really is very spirited of the old girl.
Shall I go, or shall we let Edith have her fling?
Wait a minute. See what happens.
Doctor and Mrs. Bradman.
Oh!
We're not late, are we? No. I only got back from the hospital about half an hour ago.
Of course not. Madame Arcati isn't here yet.
That must have been her. We passed coming down the hill. I said I thought it was.
Then she won't be long. Thank you, Edith.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm so glad you were able to come.
We've been looking forward to it. I feel really quite excited.
I guarantee that Violet will be good. I made a promise.
There wasn't any need. I'm absolutely thrilled. I've only seen Madame Arcati 2 or 3 times in the village. I mean, I've never seen her do anything at all peculiar, if you know what I mean.
Dry a martini?
By all means.
She certainly is a strange woman. It was only a chance remark of the vicar's about seeing her up on the knoll on Midsummer Eve, dressed in sort of Indian robes, that made me realise she was psychic at all. And then I began to make inquiries. Apparently she's been a professional in London for years.
Do you believe in it, Mrs. Condamine? Do you think there's anything really genuine about it at all?
I'm afraid not. But I do think it's interesting how easily people allow themselves to be deceived.
But she must believe it herself, mustn't she? Or is the whole business a fake?
I suspect the worst. A real professional charlatan. That's what I'm hoping for, anyhow.
Oh, thank you.
The character I'm planning for my book must be a complete imposter.
Thanks. What exactly are you hoping to get from her?
More jargon, principally. A few of the tricks of the trade. I haven't been to a seance for years. I want to refresh my memory.
Do you think she tells fortunes? I love having my fortune told.
I was told on the pier at Southsea once that I was surrounded by lilies and a golden seven. Worried me for days.
Now, we really must all be serious, you know, and pretend that we believe implicitly, otherwise she won't play.
I shall be good as gold.
Have you ever attended her, Doctor, professionally, I mean?
Yes, she had influenza in January. She'd only been here just over a year, you know. I must say she was singularly unpsychic then. I always understood she was an authoress.
Oh, yes.
What sort of books does she write?
There are 2 sorts. Rather whimsical children's stories about enchanted woods filled with highly conversational flora and fauna. And enthusiastic biographies of minor royalties. Very sentimental, reverent, and extremely funny.
Here she is.
She knows, doesn't she, about tonight? You're not going to spring it on her.
Oh, of course. It was all arranged last week. I told her how profoundly interested I was in anything to do with the occult, and she blossomed like a rose.
I really feel quite nervous, as if I were going to make a speech.
Madame Arcati.
I've lent my bicycle up against that little bush. It will be perfectly all right if no one touches it.
Yes, ma'am.
My dear Madame Arcati.
I'm afraid I'm rather late, but I had a sudden presentiment I was going to have a puncture, so I went back to fetch my pump. Then, of course, I didn't have a puncture at all.
Well, perhaps you will on the way home.
Dr. Bradman, the man with the gentle hands.
I'm delighted to see you looking so well. This is my wife.
We are old friends. We meet coming out of shops.
Of course.
Would you like a cocktail?
If it is a dry martini, yes. If it is a concoction, no. Experience has taught me to be very wary of concoctions.
It is a dry martini.
How delicious. Oh, it was wonderful cycling through the woods this evening. I was deafened with bird song.
Don't you find it very tiring, bicycling everywhere?
On the contrary, it stimulates me. I was getting far too sedentary in London. That horrid little flat with the dim lights. They had to be dim, you know. The clients expect it.
Oh, martini.
Oh, thank you. Cheers.
Cheers.
Your good health.
Ah, you're a very clever man, Mr. Condamine. Anybody can write books. But it takes an artist to make a dry martini that is dry enough.
Are you writing anything nowadays, Madame Arcati?
Every morning, regular as clockwork, 7 until 1.
Is it a novel or a memoir?
It's a children's book, mostly about very small animals. The hero is a moss beetle. I had to give up my memoir of Princess Pagliatani because she died in April. I talked to her about it the other day and she implored me to go on with it, but I really hadn't the heart.
You talked to her about it the other day?
Yes, through my control, of course. She sounded very irritable.
You know, it is certainly...
Ah, thank you, Edith.
No red meat, I hope.
There's meat, but I don't think it will be very red. Would you rather have an egg or something?
No, thank you. It's just that I make it a rule never to eat red meat before I work. It sometimes has a very odd effect.
What sort of effect?
Oh, nothing of the least importance. If it isn't very red, it won't matter much. Anyhow, we'll risk it, shall we? To the Borgias, which I think accounted for a great deal one way and another. Even as a child, she was given to the most violent, destructive tempers. Very inbred, you know.
Yes, she must have been.
My control was quite scared the other day when we were talking. I could hear it in her voice. After all, she is only a child.
Do you always have a child as a control?
Oh, yes, they're generally the best. Daphne has worked with me for years.
And she still goes on being a child. I mean, she doesn't show signs of growing any older.
Time values on the other side are entirely different from ours.
Do you feel funny when you go off into a trance?
In what way funny?
Mrs. Bradman doesn't mean funny, and it's a comic implication. I think she meant odd or strange.
The word was an unfortunate choice.
I'm sure I'm very sorry.
More coffee, Madame Arcati.
No, thank you.
I wish the men would hurry up. I'm terribly excited.
Please don't be. It makes everything much, much more difficult.
Oh.
Well, Madame Arcati, the time is drawing near.
Who knows, it may be receding.
Ah, how very true. I hope you feel in the mood, Madame Arcati.
It is not a question of mood, it's a question of concentration.
You must forgive us being impatient. We can perfectly easily wait, though, if you're not quite ready to start.
Nonsense, my dear, I'm absolutely ready. Hey-ho, hey-ho, to work we go.
Is there anything you'd like us to do?
To do?
Well, yes, hold hands or anything?
That will come later. First, a few deep, deep breaths of fresh air. You may talk if you wish. It will not disturb me in the least.
Oh, dear. An excellent dinner, darling. I congratulate you.
The mousse wasn't quite right.
It looked a bit hysterical, but it tasted delicious.
That cuckoo is very angry.
I beg your pardon?
I said that cuckoo is very angry. Listen.
How can you tell?
Sam, no moon. That's as well, I think. Good night, you foolish bird. You have a table?
Yes, we thought this one would do.
Oh, splendid. Will you all sit round it, please?
Yes, yes.
This is the moment I always hate.
Are you nervous?
Yes, when I was a girl, I always used to be sick.
How fortunate that you grew out of it.
Little Tommy Tucker sings for his supper. What shall he have but brown bread and butter? I despise that because it doesn't rhyme at all. But Daphne loves it.
Who's Daphne?
Daphne is Madame Arcati's control. She's a little girl.
Oh, I see. Yes, of course.
Yeah, how old is she?
Rising 7 when she died.
And when was that?
February the 6th, 1884.
Oh, poor little thing.
Now, will you please place your hands downwards on the table?
Come, Mrs. Bradman. Is that right?
What about the light?
All in good time, Mr. Condamine. The fingers should be touching.
Oh.
That's right. I presume that is the gramophone, Mr. Condamine.
Yes, would you like me to start it?
Please stay where you are. Oh. I can manage now. Let me see, what have we here?
I'm afraid they're none of them very new.
Daphne is really more attached to Irving Berlin than anybody else. She likes a tune she can hum. Ah, here's one. Always.
Always.
Charles, what is the matter?
Oh, nothing. Nothing at all.
The light switches by the door?
Yes.
Good. Now, there are one or two things that I would like to explain, so will you all please listen attentively?
Of course.
When the music begins, I am going to switch out the lights. I shall then join you at the table. I shall place myself between you and your wife, Mr. Condamine, and rest my hands lightly upon yours. Now, I must ask you not to address me, or to move, or to do anything in the least distracting. Is that quite clear?
Oh, yes, certainly.
Of course, I cannot guarantee that anything will happen at all. Daphne may be unavailable. She had a head cold very recently, and was rather under the weather, poor child. On the other hand, a great many things may occur. One of you might have an emanation, for instance, or we might contact a poltergeist, which would be extremely noisy and destructive.
In what way destructive?
They throw things, you know.
No, I didn't know.
But we must cross that bridge when we come to it, mustn't we? Now then, are you ready to empty your minds?
I'll do my damnedest.
Good work. I will now start the music. Lights!
Yeah.
Now, is there anyone there? Is there anyone there? One rap for yes, Two raps for no. Now, is there anyone there? Is that you, Daphne? Is your cold better, dear? Oh, I'm so sorry. Are you doing anything for it? Oh, I'm afraid she's rather fretful. Is there anyone there who wishes to speak to someone here? Ah, now we're getting somewhere. You say there is someone there who wishes to speak to someone here. Is it me? Is it Dr. Bradman? Is it Mrs. Bradman? Is it Mrs. Condamine? No, stop it. Behave yourself. Is it Mr. Condamine? There is someone who wishes to speak to you, Mr. Condamine.
Tell them to leave a message.
Oh, I really must ask you not to be flippant.
Charles, how can you be so idiotic? You'll spoil everything.
I'm sorry. It slipped out.
Do you know anyone who has passed over recently?
Not recently, except my cousin in the civil service. He wouldn't be likely to want to communicate with me. We haven't spoken for years.
Are you Mr. Condamine's cousin in the civil service? I'm afraid we've drawn a blank. Can't you think of anyone else?
It might be old Mrs. Plummett. She died on Whit Monday.
I can't imagine why old Mrs. Plummett should wish to talk to me. We had very little in common.
It's worth trying, anyhow.
Are you old Mrs. Plummett?
She was very deaf. Perhaps you'd better shout.
Are you old Mrs. Plummett? Oh, there's nobody there at all.
Oh, how disappointing. Just as we were getting on so nicely.
Violet, be quiet.
Well, I'm afraid there's nothing for it but for me to go off into a trance. Excuse me a moment, please, while I start the gramophone.
Not always. Don't play always.
Why ever not, Charles? Don't be absurd.
I'm afraid I must. It would be imprudent to change horses in midstream, if you know what I mean.
Have it your own way.
Little Tommy Tucker sings for his supper. What shall he have but brown bread and butter?
That will be Daphne. She ought to have had her adenoids out.
George, please.
Good God, she's fallen over.
Keep still, Charles. Oh, the table is trying to get away. I can't hold. Press down hard.
Oh, my God.
Oh. Lena. Well, ought we to pick it up or leave it where it is?
How the hell do I know?
There's no need to snap at me.
Leave it where it is.
Who said that?
Who said what?
Somebody said leave it where it is.
Nonsense.
I heard it distinctly.
Well, nobody else did they? I never heard a sound.
It was you, Ruth. You're playing tricks.
I'm not doing anything of the sort. I haven't uttered.
Good evening, Charles.
Ventriloquism, that's what it is. Ventriloquism.
What is the matter with
you? You must have heard that. One of you must have heard that.
What?
You mean to sit there solemnly and tell me that you've none of you heard anything at all?
I certainly didn't.
Oh, neither did I. I wish I had. I should love to hear something. It is you who are playing the tricks, Charles. You're acting to try and frighten us.
I'm not. I swear I'm not.
It's difficult to think of what to say after 7 years, but I suppose good evening is as good as anything else.
Who are you?
Elvira, of course. Don't be so silly.
I can't bear this another minute. Get up, everybody. The entertainment's over. Let's have the lights on.
Oh, Charles, how tiresome of you. Just as we were beginning to enjoy ourselves.
Never again, that's all I can say. Never, never again, as long as I live.
What on earth's the matter with you?
Nothing's the matter with me. I'm just sick of the whole business, that's all.
Did you hear something that we didn't hear really?
No, of course not. I was only pretending.
I know you were.
Oh, dear. Look at Madame Arcati. She's unconscious.
What are we to do with her?
Well, bring her round. Bring her round as soon as possible.
Madam.
Wake up. Madam McCarthy, wake up. Time to go home.
Yeah, go easier.
Come, lift her into the chair. Help me, Bradman. Wake up, Madam McCarthy. Little Tommy Tucker, Madam McCarthy. Wake up.
She's coming round.
Ah. Well, that's that.
Are you all right?
Certainly I am. Never felt better in my life. Well, what happened? Was it satisfactory?
Well, nothing much happened, Madame Arcati, after you went off.
Something happened. I can feel it. No poltergeist, at any rate, that's a good thing. Any apparitions?
Not a thing.
No ectoplasm?
I'm not quite sure what it is, but I don't think so.
Very curious. I feel as though something tremendous had taken place.
Charles pretended he heard a voice in order to frighten us.
It was only a joke.
A very poor one, if I may say so. Nevertheless, I am prepared to swear that there is someone else psychic in this room apart from myself.
I don't see how there can be, really, Madame Arcati.
Oh, I do hope I haven't gone and released something. However, we're bound to find out within a day or two. If any manifestation should occur, or you hear any unexpected noises, you might let me know at once.
Oh, of course we will. We'll telephone immediately.
Good. Well, I think I must be on my way now. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
I'm so sorry so little occurred. Next time we must really put our backs into it.
Good night. Good night.
Good night. I'll see you for your bicycle.
Oh, how kind.
Could you have your cloak?
Yes, somewhere.
Oh, dear. Oh, be careful, Mrs. Connelly. She might hear you. I can't remember, but I really can't. Oh, I've been holding this for ages. Oh, she's raving mad. Of course, she's mad as a hatter. But do you really think she believes?
Of course not. The whole thing's a put-up job. I must say, though, she shoots a more original line than they generally do.
I do hope Mr. Condamine got all the atmosphere he wanted for his book.
Well, he might have got a great deal more if he hadn't spoiled everything by showing off. I'm really very cross with him. Oh, suddenly felt a draught. The windows must be open.
I'll see. No, they're shut.
Oh.
Well, the old girl's gone peddling off down the drive at the hell of a speed. Good for her.
Oh, George, dear, it's getting terribly late. We really must go home. You had to get up so early in the morning.
Have a drink before you go.
No, really, thank you. Violet's quite right, I'm afraid. I've got to get up abominably early tomorrow.
It has been a thrilling evening. I shall never forget it.
Good night, Mrs. Condamine. Thank you so much.
Well, we'll let you know if we find any poltergeists whirling about.
I should never forgive you if you didn't. No, don't bother the solicitor. I can find her own way.
Good night.
Bye-bye. Good night.
Well, darling?
Well?
Would you say the evening had been profitable?
Yes, I suppose so.
I must say it was extremely funny at moments.
Yes, it certainly was.
What's the matter?
Matter?
You seem odd somehow. Don't you feel quite well?
Perfectly. I think I'll have a drink. Do you want one?
No, thank you.
Chilly in this room.
I thought I felt a draught.
I don't think I'll make any notes tonight. I'll start fresh in the...
Charles. God. That was very clumsy, Charles, dear.
Elvira! It's true! It was you!
Of course it was!
Charles, what are you talking about?
Are you a ghost?
I suppose I must be. It's all very confusing.
Charles, what do you keep looking over there for? What's happened?
Don't you see?
See what?
Elvira!
Elvira?
Yes. Elvira, dear, this is Ruth. Ruth, this is Elvira.
Come and sit down, darling.
Do you mean to say you can't see her?
Just sit down quietly.
But you must be able to see her. Look, she's there. Look, right in front of you, there.
Are you mad? What's happened to you?
You can't see her?
Look, if this is a joke, dear, it's gone quite far enough. Sit down and I'll mix you another drink.
What am I to do? What the hell am I to do?
I think you might at least be a little more pleased to see me. After all, you conjured me up.
I didn't do any such thing.
Nonsense, of course you did. That awful child with the cold came and told me you wanted to see me urgently.
It was all a mistake, a horrible mistake.
Stop talking like that, Charles. As I told you before, the joke's gone far enough.
I've gone mad, that's what it is. I've just gone raving mad.
Here, drink this.
There. Now you're satisfied.
Now. Sit down.
Why are you so anxious for me to sit down? What good will that do?
I want you to relax. You can't relax standing up.
African natives can. They can stand on one leg for hours.
I don't happen to be an African native.
You don't happen to be a what?
An African native.
What's that got to do with it?
Doesn't matter, Ruth, really. Doesn't matter. We'll say no more about it. See? I've sat down.
Would you like some more brandy?
Yes, please.
Very unwise. You always had a weak head.
I could drink you under the table.
Now, there's no need to be aggressive, Charles. I'm doing my best to help you.
I'm sorry.
Drink this, and then we'll go to bed.
Get rid of her, Charles. Then we can talk in peace.
That is a thoroughly immoral suggestion. You ought to be ashamed of yourself.
What is there immoral in that?
I wasn't talking to you.
Who were you talking
to? Elvira,
of course. Oh, to hell with Elvira.
There now, she's getting cross.
I don't blame her.
What don't you blame her for?
Oh, God!
Now, look here, Charles. I gather you've got some sort of plan behind all this. I'm not quite a fool. I suspected you when we were doing that idiotic seance.
That was silly. What plan could I have?
I don't know. It's probably something to do with the characters in your book. How they, or one of them, would react to a certain situation. I refuse to be used as a guinea pig unless I'm warned beforehand what it's all about.
Elvira is here, Ruth. She is standing a few yards away from you.
Oh, yes, dear. I can see her distinctly under the piano with a zebra.
But Ruth...
Look, I'm not going to stay here arguing any longer.
Hooray!
Shut up!
How dare you speak to me like that?
No, listen, Ruth, please.
I will not listen to any more of this nonsense. I am going up to bed now. I'll leave you to turn out the lights. I shan't be asleep. I'm too upset. So you can come in and say good night to me if you feel like it.
That's big of her, I must say.
Oh, be quiet. You're behaving like a gutter snipe.
That is all I have to say. Good night, Charles.
Ruth!
That was one of the most enjoyable 10 minutes I've ever spent.
Oh, Elvira, how could you?
Poor Ruth.
This is obviously an hallucination, isn't it?
I'm afraid I don't know the technical term for it.
What am I to do?
What Ruth suggested. Relax.
Where have you come from?
Do you know, it's very peculiar, but I've sort of forgotten.
Are you to be here indefinitely?
I don't know that either.
Oh, my God.
Why? Would you hate it so much if I was?
Well, you must admit it would be embarrassing.
I don't see why, really. It's all a question of adjusting yourself. Anyhow, I think it's horrid of you to be so unwelcoming and disagreeable.
Now, look here, Elvira.
I do. I think you're mean.
Try to see my point. I've been married to Ruth for 5 years, and you've been dead for 7.
Not dead, Charles. Passed over. Don't. It's considered vulgar to say dead where I come from.
Passed over, then.
At any rate, now that I'm here, the least you can do is to make a pretense of being amiable about it.
Oh, of course, my dear. I'm delighted in one way.
I don't believe you love me anymore.
I shall always love the memory of you.
You mustn't think me unreasonable, but I really am a little hurt. You called me back, and at great inconvenience I came. And you've been thoroughly churlish ever since I arrived.
Believe me, Elvira, I most emphatically did not send for you. There's been some mistake.
Well, somebody did, and that child said it was you. I remember I was playing backgammon with a very sweet old Oriental gentleman. I think his name was Genghis Khan. And I'd just thrown double sixes, and then the child paged me, and the next thing I knew I was in this room. Perhaps it was your subconscious.
You must find out whether you're going to stay or not, and we can make arrangements accordingly.
I don't see how I can.
Well, try to think. Isn't there anyone that you know that you can get in touch with over there, on the other side, or whatever it's called, who could advise you?
I can't think. It seems so far away, as though I dreamed it.
You must know somebody else besides Genghis Khan.
Oh, Charles.
What is it?
I want to cry, but I don't think I'm able to.
What do you want to cry for?
At seeing you again, and you being so irascible, like you always used to be.
I don't mean to be irascible, Elvira.
Darling, I don't mind, really. I never did.
Is it cold, being a ghost?
No, I don't think so.
What happens if I touch you?
I doubt if you can. Do you want to?
Oh, Elvira.
What is it, darling?
I really do feel strange seeing you again.
That's better.
What's better?
Your voice was kinder.
Was I ever unkind to you when you were alive?
Often.
Oh, how can you? I'm sure that's an exaggeration.
Not at all. You were an absolute pig that time you went to Cornwall and stayed in that awful hotel. You hit me with a billiard cue.
Only very, very gently.
I loved you very much.
I loved you too. I can't touch you. Isn't that horrible?
Perhaps it's as well if I'm going to stay for any length of time.
I suppose I shall wake up eventually, but I feel strangely peaceful now.
That's right. Put your head back.
Not like that.
Can you feel me stroking your hair?
Only a very little breeze.
Well, that's better than nothing.
I suppose if I'm really out of my mind, they'll put me in an asylum.
Don't worry about that. Just relax.
Mm-hmm. Poor Ruth.
To hell with Ruth.
It certainly is.
What certainly is what?
Good morning, a tremendously good morning. There isn't a cloud in the sky and everything looks newly washed.
Edith's giving a breakfast, Tot. You'd better ring.
Anything interesting in the Times?
Don't be silly, Charles.
I intend to work all day.
Good.
It's extraordinary about daylight, isn't it?
How do you mean?
Well, the way it reduces everything to normal.
Does it?
Not very glacial this morning.
Are you surprised?
Well, frankly, yes. I expected more of you.
Well, really?
I've always looked upon you as a woman of perception and understanding.
Perhaps this is one of my off days.
Good morning, Edith.
Good morning, sir.
Feeling fit?
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir.
How's cook?
I don't know, sir. I haven't asked her.
No, you should. You should begin every day by asking everyone how they are. It oils the wheels.
Yes, sir.
And that'll be all for the moment, Edith.
Yes, ma'am.
I wish you wouldn't be facetious with the servants, Charles. It confuses them and undermines their morale.
I take back what I said about it being a good morning. It's a horrid morning.
Better eat your breakfast while it's hot.
It isn't.
Now, look here, Charles. In your younger days, this display of roguish flippancy might have been alluring. In a middle-aged novelist, it's nauseating.
Would you like me to writhe at your feet in a frenzy of self-abasement?
And that would be equally nauseating, but certainly more appropriate.
I really don't see what I've done that's so awful.
You behaved abominably last night. You wounded and insulted me.
I was the victim of an aberration.
Nonsense, you were drunk. You refused to come to bed, and when I finally came down at 3 a.m. to see what had happened to you, I found you in an alcoholic coma on the sofa with the fire out and your hair all over your face.
I was not in the least drunk, Ruth. Something happened to me last night. Something very peculiar happened to me. I swear to you that during the seance I was convinced that I heard Elvira's voice.
Nobody else did.
I can't tell that I did. And later on I was equally convinced that she was in this room. I saw her distinctly and talked to her. After you'd gone out to bed, we had quite a cosy little chat.
Charles, alcohol will ruin your whole life if you allow it to get a hold on you, you know.
Once and for all, Ruth, I would like you to understand that what happened last night was nothing whatever to do with alcohol. I'm willing to grant you that it was an aberration. Some sort of odd psychic delusion brought on by suggestion or hypnosis. I was stone-cold sober from first to last and extremely upset into the bargain.
You were upset, indeed. What about me? You seem to forget that you gratuitously insulted me.
I did not.
You called me a guttersnipe. You told me to shut up, and when I quietly suggested that we go up to bed, you said with the most disgusting leer that it was an immoral suggestion.
I was talking to Elvira.
Well, if you were, I can only say it conjures up a fragrant picture of your first marriage.
My first marriage was perfectly charming. And I think it's in the worst possible taste for you to sneer at it.
I'm not nearly so interested in your first marriage as you think I am. It's your second marriage that is absorbing me at the moment. It seems to me to be on the rocks.
Only because you persist in taking up this ridiculous attitude.
My attitude is that of any normal woman whose husband gets drunk and hurls abuse at her.
I was not drunk!
Be quiet. They'll hear you in the kitchen.
I don't care if they hear me at the Folkestone Town Hall. I was not drunk! Please, Ruth, be reasonable.
I'm perfectly reasonable.
I wasn't pretending. I really did believe that I saw Elvira. I had the shock of my life. That's why I dropped the glass.
Oh, you couldn't have seen her.
I know I couldn't have, but I did.
I'm willing to concede, then, that you imagined you did.
That's what I've been trying to explain to you.
Well, then, there's obviously something wrong with you.
Exactly. There is something wrong with me, something fundamentally wrong with me. That's why I've been imploring your sympathy. All I got was a sterile temperance lecture.
You had been drinking, Charles. There's no denying that.
No more than usual.
Well, how do you account for it, then?
I can't account for it. That's what's so awful.
Did you feel quite well yesterday, during the day?
Of course I did.
What did you have for lunch?
Well, you ought to know. You had it with me.
Let me see now. There was some lemon sole and that cheese thing.
Why should having a cheese thing for lunch make me see my deceased wife after dinner?
You never know. It was rather rich.
Well, why didn't you see your dead husband then? Just as much of it as I did.
Look, this is not getting us anywhere.
Of course it isn't. And it won't as long as you insist on ascribing supernatural phenomena to colonic irritation.
How do you feel now?
Apart from being worried, I feel quite normal.
Good. You're not hearing or seeing anything in the least unusual.
Not a thing.
You've absolutely ruined that border by the sundial. It looks like a mixed salad.
Oh, my God.
What's the matter now?
She's here again.
What do you mean, who's here again?
Elvira.
Well, pull yourself together and don't be absurd.
It's all those nasturtiums. They're so vulgar.
I like nasturtiums.
You like what?
They're all right in moderation, but in a mass like that, they look beastly.
Help me, Ruth. You've got to help me.
What did you mean about nasturtiums?
Never mind about that. Now, I tell you, she's here again.
You have been having a nice scene, haven't you? I could hear you right down the garden.
Please mind your own business.
If you behaving like a lunatic isn't my business, nothing is.
I expect it was about me, wasn't it? I know I ought to feel sorry, but I'm not. I'm delighted.
How can you be so inconsiderate?
Inconsiderate! I like that, I must
no,
say.
Ruth, darling,
look, I've done everything I can to help. I've controlled myself admirably. And I should like to say here and now that I don't believe a word about your damned hallucination. You're up to something, Charles. For some obscure reason, you're trying to goad me into doing something that I might regret. But I don't stand for it anymore. You're making me utterly, utterly miserable.
Ruth, please.
Yeah, don't come near me.
Let her have a nice cry. It'll do her good.
You're utterly heartless.
Heartless!
I wasn't talking to you. I was talking to Elvira.
Well, you go on talking to her, then. You'll talk to her till you're blue in the face, but don't talk to me.
Help me, Elvira.
How?
Well, make her see you or something.
Oh, I'm afraid I couldn't manage that. It's technically the most difficult business. Frightfully complicated, you know. It takes years of study.
Well, you must promise me that in future you only come and talk to me when I'm alone.
Oh, how unkind you are, making me feel so unwanted.
I don't mean to be unkind, but you must
see. It's all your own fault for having married a woman who's incapable of seeing beyond the nose on her face. If she had a grain of real sympathy or affection for you, she'd believe what you tell her.
Well, how could you expect anybody to believe this?
You'd be surprised how gullible people are. We often laugh about it on the other side.
Charles.
Yes, dear?
I'm awfully sorry I was cross.
But, my dear...
I understand everything now. I do, really.
You do?
Of course I do.
Look out. She's up to something.
Will you please be quiet?
Of course, darling. We'll all be quiet, won't we? We'll all be quiet as little mice.
Ruth, dear, listen.
I want you to come upstairs with me and go to bed.
The way that woman harps on bed is nothing short of erotic.
I'll deal with you later.
Very well, darling. Come along.
She'll have you in a straitjacket before you know where you are.
Elvira, help me. You must help me.
My dear, I would with pleasure, but I can't think how.
No, I can. Listen, Ruth.
Yes, dear?
If I promise to go to bed, will you let me stay here for 5 minutes longer?
I really think it would be better.
Bear with me, however mad it may seem. Bear with me for just 5 minutes longer.
Very well. What is it?
Sit down.
All right. There.
Now. Listen carefully.
Have a cigarette. It will soothe your nerves.
I don't want a cigarette.
Then you shan't have one, darling.
Ruth, I want to explain to you clearly and without emotion that beyond any shadow of a doubt, the ghost or shade, or whatever you like to call it, of my first wife, Elvira, is in this room now.
Yes, dear.
I know you don't believe it and are trying valiantly to humour me, but I intend to prove it to you. Elvira, will you promise you'll do what I ask?
That all depends what it is.
Ruth, see that bowl of flowers on the piano?
Yes, dear, I did it myself this morning.
Very untidily, if I may say so.
You may not.
Very well. I never will again, I promise.
Elvira will now carry that bowl of flowers to the mantelpiece and back again. You will, Elvira, won't you? Just to please me?
I don't really see why I should. You've been quite insufferable to me ever since I materialized.
Please.
All right. I will, just this once.
Now, Ruth, watch carefully.
Very well, dear.
Go on, Elvira. Take her to the mantelpiece and back again.
To the mantelpiece. And back again. Satisfied?
Thank you. There, Ruth. Now do you believe me?
How dare you, Charles? You ought to be ashamed of yourself.
What on earth for?
It's a trick. I know perfectly well it's a trick. It's all part of some horrible plan.
Listen, I swear it. Elvira, do something else for God's sake.
Certainly. Anything to oblige.
You want to get rid of me? You're trying to drive me out of my mind.
You're so silly. Elvira, please.
Suppose I break that hideous vase on the mantel.
Oh, no.
Oh, no, that vase is moving.
Elvira.
This is madness. It's sheer madness.
fingers and my foot.
Directly I got your message, Mrs. Condamine.
That was very kind of you, Madame Arcati.
Kind? Nonsense. Nothing kind about it. I look upon it as an outing.
I'm so glad. Will you have some tea?
China or Indian?
China.
Good. I never touch Indian. It upsets my vibrations.
I am profoundly disturbed, Madame Arcati, and I want your help.
Aha! I thought as much. Fire away.
I know it sounds idiotic, but the other night during the séance, something happened.
I knew it! Probably a poltergeist. They're enormously cunning, you know. They sometimes lie doggo for days.
You know that my husband was married before?
Yes, I have heard it mentioned.
His first wife, Elvira, died comparatively young.
Where?
Here, in this house. In this very room.
I am beginning to see daylight.
She was convalescing after pneumonia. And one evening she started to laugh helplessly at one of the BBC musical programmes and died of a heart attack.
And she materialised the other evening after I had gone.
Not to me, but to my husband.
Capital, capital! Oh, but that is splendid!
Yes, well, from your own professional standpoint, I can see that it might be regarded as a major achievement.
A triumph, my dear, nothing more nor less than a triumph.
But from my own personal point of view, it is, to say the least of it, embarrassing.
At last, a genuine materialisation.
Please sit down again, Madame Arcati.
Oh, forgive me, my dear Mrs. Condamine, I am being abominably selfish. Now, how can I help you?
How? By sending her back immediately to where she came from, of course.
I'm afraid that is easier said than done.
But do you mean to tell me that she's liable to stay here indefinitely?
It is difficult to say. I fear it largely depends on her.
But, my dear Madame Arcati, surely...
Where is she now?
My husband has driven her into Folkestone. Apparently she was anxious to see an old friend of hers.
Forgive the formality of taking notes, but I shall have to make a report to the psychical research people. Now, you say she is visible only to your husband?
Yes.
Visible only to husband. Audible, too, I presume.
Extremely audible.
Extremely audible. Your husband was devoted to her?
I believe so.
Husband devoted. When did she pass over?
7 years ago.
Ah, that means she must have been on the waiting list.
Waiting list?
Yes. Otherwise, she would have got beyond the materialization stage by now. She must have marked herself down for a return visit. And she would never have been able to manage it unless there was a strong influence at work.
Do you mean that Charles, my husband, wanted her back all that much?
Possibly. Or it might have been her own determination.
Oh, that sounds much more likely.
Would you say she was a woman of strong character?
Look, I really don't know, Madame Arcati. I never met her. Nor am I particularly interested in how or why she got here. I am solely concerned with the question of how to get her away again as soon as possible.
I fully sympathize with you, Mrs. Condamine, and I assure you I will do anything in my power to help you. But the time has come for me to admit to you frankly that I haven't the faintest idea of how to go about it.
Don't mean to sit there and tell me that having mischievously conjured up this ghost or spirit or whatever she is and placed me in a hideous position, you are unable to do anything about it at all.
Honesty is the best policy.
But it's outrageous.
I resent your tone, Mrs. Condamine. I rarely do.
Well, you most decidedly have no right to. You are entirely to blame for the whole horrible situation.
Kindly remember I came here the other night on your own invitation.
On my husband's invitation.
I did what I was requested to do, which was to give a séance and establish contact with the other side. I had no idea there was any ulterior motive mixed up with it.
Ulterior motive?
Your husband was obviously eager to get into touch with his former wife. If I had been aware of that at the time, I should naturally have consulted you beforehand. After all, noblesse oblige.
He had no intention of trying to get in touch with anyone. The whole thing was planned in order for him to get material for a mystery story he's writing about a homicidal medium.
Am I to understand that I was only invited in a spirit of mockery?
Not at all. He merely wanted to make notes of some of the tricks of the trade.
Tricks of the trade? Insufferable. I have never been so insulted in my life. I feel we have nothing more to say to each other, Mrs. Condamine. Goodbye!
No, please, please, don't go. Please! Damn.
Oh. What on earth has Madame Arcati doing here?
She came to tea.
Did you ask her?
Of course I did.
You never told me you were going to.
You never told me you were going to ask Elvira to live with us.
I didn't.
Oh, yes, you did, darling. It was your subconscious.
What was the old girl so cross about? She practically cut me dead.
I told her the truth about why we invited her the other night.
Well, that was quite unnecessary and most unkind. But why did you ask her to tea?
To get me exorcised, of course.
Is that true, Ruth?
Is what true?
What Elvira said.
Is she still with you?
Well, of course she is.
Well, you know perfectly well I can't hear what she says.
She said that you got Madame Arcati here to try to get her exorcised. Is that true?
We discussed the possibilities.
There's a snake in the grass for you.
You had no right to do such a thing without consulting me.
I have every right. This situation is absolutely impossible.
If only you'd make an effort to try and be a little more friendly to Elvira, we might all have quite a jolly time.
I have no wish to have a jolly time with Elvira.
She's certainly very bad-tempered, isn't she? I can't think why you married her.
Well, she's naturally a bit upset. We must make allowances.
I was never bad-tempered, though, was I, darling? Not even when you were beastly to me.
I was never beastly to you.
Where is Elvira at the moment?
In the chair by the drinks table.
Now, look here, Elvira. I shall have to call you Elvira, shan't I? I can't very well go on saying Mrs. Condamine all the time. It would sound too silly.
I don't see why.
Did she say anything?
She said she'd like nothing better.
You really are sweet, Charles, darling. I worship you.
I wish to be absolutely honest with you, Elvira.
Hold on to your hat, please.
I admit I did ask Madame Arcati here with a view to getting you exorcised. And I think that if you were in my position, you'd have done exactly the same thing, wouldn't you?
I shouldn't have done it so obviously.
What did she say?
Nothing. She just nodded and smiled.
Thank you, Elvira. That's generous of you. I really would so much rather that there were no misunderstandings between us.
That's very sensible, Ruth. I agree entirely.
I want, before we go any further, to ask you a frank question. Why did you really come here?
I came because the power of Charles's love tugged and tugged and tugged at me. Didn't it, my sweet?
What did she say?
She said that she came because she wanted to see me again.
Well, she's done that now, hasn't she?
No, we can't be inhospitable, Ruth.
I have no wish to be inhospitable, but I should like to have just an idea of how long you intend to stay, Elvira.
I don't know. I really don't know. Isn't it awful?
She says she doesn't know.
Surely that's a little inconsiderate.
Didn't the old spiritualist have any constructive ideas about getting rid of me?
What did Madame Arcati say?
She said she couldn't do a thing.
Hooray!
Now, don't be upset, Ruth, dear. We shall soon adjust ourselves, you know. You must admit it's a unique experience. I can see no valid reason why we shouldn't get a great deal of fun out of it.
Fun? Oh,
she's off again.
Now, you really mustn't be so callous, Elvira. Try to see her point a little.
I suppose she said something insulting.
No, dear, she didn't do anything of the sort.
Now, look here, Elvira.
She's over by the window now.
Oh, why the hell can't you stay in the same place?
Temper again? My poor Charles, what a terrible life you must lead.
Do shut up, darling. You'll only make everything worse.
Who was that darling addressed to, her or me?
Both of you.
This is intolerable.
Oh, for heaven's sake, don't get into another state.
I've been doing my level best to control myself ever since yesterday morning, and I'm damned if I'm going to try any more. The strain is too much. She has the advantage of being able to say whatever she pleases without me being able to hear her. But she can hear me all right, can't she? Without any modified interpreting.
Modified interpreting? I don't know what you mean.
No, yes, you do. I am now going up to my room, and I shall have my dinner on the tray. You and she can have the house to yourselves, and joke and gossip with each other to your heart's content. The first thing in the morning, I am going up to London to interview the Psychical Research Society, and if they fail me, I shall go straight to the Archbishop of Canterbury.
Ruth!
Let her go. She'll calm down later on.
Sounds like her to behave like this. She's generally so equable.
No, she isn't. Not really. Her mouth gives her away. It's a hard mouth, Charles.
Her mouth's got nothing to do with it. I'd resent you discussing Ruth as though she were a horse.
Do you love her?
Of course I do.
As much as you loved me?
No, very silly. It's all entirely different.
I'm so glad. Nothing could ever have been quite the same, could it?
You always behave very badly.
Oh, Charles.
I'm grieved to see that your sojourn in the other world hasn't improved you in the least.
Go on, darling. I love it when you pretend to be cross with me.
I am now going up to talk to Ruth.
Cowardy custard.
Let her be idiotic. I can't let her go like that. I must be a little nice and sympathetic to her.
She should learn to be more adaptable.
No, she probably will in time. It's been a shock.
Has it been a shock for you too, darling?
Of course. What did you expect?
A nice shock.
What do you want, Elvira?
Want? I don't know what you mean.
I remember that whenever you were overpoweringly demure, it usually meant that you wanted something.
It's horrid of you to be so suspicious. All I want is to be with you.
Well, you are.
I mean alone, darling. If you go and pamper Ruth and smarm over her, she'll probably come flouncing down again and our lovely quiet evening together will be spoiled.
Incorrigibly selfish.
Well, I haven't seen you for 7 years. It's only natural that I should want a little time alone with you to talk over old times. I'll let you go up, just for a little while, if you really think it's your duty.
Of course it is.
Then I don't mind.
You're disgraceful.
You won't be long, will you? You'll come down again very soon.
I shall probably dress for dinner while I'm upstairs.
Darling, you don't have to dress. For me.
I always dress for dinner. Be a good girl now. You can play the gramophone if you like.
Thank you, Charles.
Does it show any signs of clearing?
No, it's still pouring.
I do sympathise with you, really I do. It's been quite a chapter of accidents, hasn't it?
It certainly has. You sure you wouldn't like a cocktail?
No, thank you, really not. George will be down in a minute, and we've got to go like lightning. We were supposed to be at the Wilmots at 7, and it's nearly that now.
I think I'll have a little sherry. I feel I need it.
Don't worry about your husband's arm, Mrs. Condamine. I'm sure it's only a sprain.
It's not his arm I'm worried about.
And I'm sure Edith will be up and about again in a few days.
Oh. Nothing to worry about, Mrs. Condamine. It's only a slight sprain.
I'm so relieved.
You made a good deal of fuss when I examined it. Men are much worse patients than women, you know, particularly highly strung men like your husband.
Is he highly strung, do you think?
Yes, as a matter of fact, I wanted to talk to you about that. I'm afraid he's been overworking lately.
Overworking?
He's in rather a nervous condition. Nothing serious, you understand.
What makes you think so?
I know the symptoms. Of course, the shock of his fall might have something to do with it, but I certainly should advise a complete rest for a couple of weeks.
What symptoms did you notice?
Oh, nothing to be unduly alarmed about. A certain air of strain, an inability to focus his eyes on the person he's talking to. A few rather marked irrelevances in his conversation.
I see. Can you remember any specific example?
Oh, he suddenly shouted, "What are you doing in the bathroom?" And then a little later, while I was writing him a prescription, he suddenly said, "For God's sake, behave yourself."
How extraordinary.
I'm not in the least perturbed about it, really. I do think a rest and a change would be a good idea.
Thank you so much, Doctor. How is poor Edith?
She'll be all right in a few days. She's still recovering from the concussion. See that she doesn't take that bandage off.
It's funny, isn't it, that both your housemaid and your husband should fall down on the same day?
Yes, if that sort of thing amuses you.
Well, of course, I didn't mean it like that, Mrs. Contamy.
Come along, my dear. You're talking too much, as usual.
You are horrid, George.
I'll pop in and have a look at both patients sometime tomorrow morning. Contamy, how do they feel?
All right. Is the stand sling really essential?
A wise precaution. Prevent you using your left hand except when it's really necessary.
I have intended to drive it to Folkestone this evening.
It would be much better if you didn't.
It's extremely inconvenient.
You can easily wait and go tomorrow, Charles.
Oh, I can't stand another of those dreary evenings at home, Charles. And I haven't seen a movie for 7 years.
Let me be the first to congratulate you.
What's that, old man?
Charles, dear, try to be sensible, I implore you.
Sorry, I forgot.
You can drive the car if you promise to use your left hand as little as possible.
All right.
You'd be much better to stay at home.
Couldn't you drive him in?
I'm afraid not. I have lots to do in the house, and there's Edith to be attended to.
Well, I'll leave you to fight it out among yourselves. But remember, if you do insist on going, carefully does it. The roads are very slippery anyhow. Come along, Violet.
Goodbye, Mrs. Condon.
Goodbye.
Now, see you later.
Thank you. You really are infuriating, Elvira. Surely you could wait and go to the movies another night.
Oh!
And stop behaving like a schoolgirl. You're old enough to know better.
Sorry, did you say something?
I was talking to Elvira.
She isn't here.
But she was a moment ago. She threw a rose at me.
She's been very high-spirited all day. I know this mood of old. It usually meant she was up to something.
You're sure she isn't here?
I'm quite sure.
Right. I want to talk to you.
Oh, God.
I must. It's important.
You've behaved very well for the past few days, Ruth. You're not going to start making scenes again, are you?
I resent that air of patronage, Charles. She came here with one purpose and one purpose only. To get you to herself forever.
That's absurd. How could she?
By killing you off, of course.
Killing me off? You're mad.
Why do you suppose Edith fell down the stairs and nearly cracked her skull?
What's Edith got to do with it?
Because the whole of the top stair was covered with axle grease. Cook discovered it afterwards.
You're making this up, Ruth.
I'm not. I swear I'm not. Why do you suppose when you were lopping that dead branch off the pear tree that the ladder broke? Because it had been practically sawn through on both sides.
But why should you want to kill me? I could understand her wanting to kill you, but why me?
If you were dead, it would be her final triumph over me. She'd have you with her forever on her damned astral plane, and I'd be left high and dry. She's probably planning a sort of spiritual remarriage. I wouldn't put anything past her.
Ruth!
Oh, for heaven's sake, stop looking like a wounded spaniel and concentrate. This is serious.
What are we to do?
You're not to let her know that we suspect a thing. Behave perfectly ordinarily, as if nothing had happened. I'm going to Madame Arcati immediately. I don't care how cross she is, she's got to help us. Even if she can't get rid of Elvira, she must know some technical method of rendering her harmless. I'll be back in half an hour. Tell Elvira I've gone to see the vicar.
This is appalling.
Never mind about that. Remember now, don't give yourself away by so much as a flick of an eyelid.
Look out.
What?
I merely said it's a nice lookout.
What's a nice lookout?
The weather, Elvira. The glass is going down and down and down. It's positively macabre.
I find it difficult to believe that you and Ruth at this particular moment can't think of anything more interesting to talk about than the weather.
I can't stand this anymore. I really can't.
Ruth, dear, please.
Has she broken out again?
What did she say?
She asked if you'd broken out again.
How dare you talk like that, Elvira.
Now then, Ruth.
Charles and I were not talking about the weather, Elvira, as you so very shrewdly suspected. I was trying to persuade him not to drive you into Folkestone this evening. It will be bad for his arm, and you can perfectly easily wait until tomorrow. However, as he seems determined to place your wishes before mine in everything, I have nothing further to say. I'm sure I hope you both enjoy yourselves.
There now.
Oh, Charles, have you been beastly to her?
No. Ruth doesn't like being thwarted any more than you do.
She's a woman of sterling character. It's a pity she's so ungiving.
As I told you before, I would rather not discuss Ruth with you. It makes me uncomfortable.
I won't mention her again. Are you ready?
What for?
To go to Folkestone, of course.
I still think it would be more sensible to wait until tomorrow. It's a filthy night.
How familiar this is.
In what way familiar?
All through our married life, I only had to suggest something for you immediately to start hedging me off.
I'm not hedging you off. I merely said...
All right. We'll spend another cosy, intimate evening at home with Ruth sewing away at that hideous table centre and snapping at us like a terrier.
If you don't behave yourself, I shan't take you into Folkestone ever.
Please, Charles. Don't be elderly and grand with me. Please, let's go now.
Not until I've had a sherry.
Oh, you are tiresome, darling. I've been waiting about for hours.
A few more minutes won't make any difference, then.
Very well.
Besides, the car won't be back for half an hour at least.
What do you mean?
Ruth's taken it. She had to go and see the vicar.
What?
What's the matter?
You say Ruth's taken the car?
Yes, to go and see the vicar, but she won't be long.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Elvira.
Stop her. You must stop her at once.
Why? What for?
Stop her. Go out and stop her immediately.
What are you going on like this for? What have you done?
No, I haven't done anything.
Elvira, you're lying.
I'm not lying. What is there to lie about?
What are you in such a state for?
I'm not in a state. I don't know what you mean.
You've done something. Dreadful.
Oh, no, don't look at me like that, Charles. I haven't. I swear I haven't.
My God, the car.
No, Charles, no.
Ruth was right. You did want to kill me. You've done something to the car.
Oh.
What did you do? Answer me.
Oh.
Hello? Hello? Yes, speaking. I see. The bridge at the bottom of the hill. Thank you. No. I'll come to us.
Well, of all the filthy, low-down down tricks. Ow! Stop it! Ruth! Victor! Stop it, I tell you! Ruth!
Will not consider this an intrusion, Mr. Condamine.
Not at all.
I felt a tremendous urge, like a rushing wind, and so I hopped on my bike, and here I am.
It was very kind of you.
I reproach myself bitterly, you know.
Oh, please don't. There's no necessity for that.
I allowed myself to get into a huff the other day with your late wife. I have regretted it ever since.
My dear Madame Arcati.
Please let me go on. Mine is the shame. Mine is the blame. I shall never forgive myself. I threw up the sponge. In a moment of crisis, I threw up the sponge instead of throwing down the gauntlet.
Whatever you threw, Madame Arcati, I very much fear nothing could have been done.
I cannot bring myself to admit defeat so easily. It is gall and wormwood to me. I have been thinking very carefully. I have also been reading up a good deal during these last few dreadful days. I gather we are alone.
My first wife's not in the room. She's upstairs lying down. The funeral exhausted her. I imagine that my second wife is with her, but as I can't see her, I've no way of knowing for certain.
Pluck up your heart, Mr. Condamine. All is not lost.
Now, look here, Madame Arcati.
You are still anxious to dematerialize your first wife, I suppose.
Of course I am.
Good. Because I have a formula here that I think will be able to get rid of her. It is extremely simple and requires nothing more than complete concentration from you and a minor chance from me.
Honestly, I would rather...
Charles!
What on earth's the matter, Elvira?
Oh, what's she doing here?
She came to offer me her condolences.
They should have been congratulations.
Oh, please don't say things like that, Elvira. It's in the worst possible taste. Madame Arcati, allow me to introduce my first wife, Elvira.
How do you do?
She's the one who got me here in the first place, isn't she?
Yes.
Well, please tell her to get me away again as soon as possible. I can't stand this house another minute.
Very interesting. Very interesting indeed. I smell ectoplasm strongly.
What a disgusting thing to say.
Where is she now?
Here, close to me.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful.
For God's sake, tell her to go into the other room, Charles. I've got to talk to you.
I almost have contact. I can sense the vibrations. Oh, this is magnificent.
Please, Charles, get rid of her. Ruth will be in a minute.
Madame Arcati, would you think it most frightfully rude if I asked you to go into the dining room for a moment? My first wife wishes to speak to me alone.
Oh, must I? It's so lovely being actually in the same room with her.
Only for a few minutes. I promise you'll be here when you come back.
Oh, very well. Hand me my bag, will you? It's on the sofa.
I'll get it, Charles. Here you are.
Oh, you darling. Oh, you little darling.
Oh. How good is she, really?
I don't know.
Do you think she really could get me back again?
Oh, my dear child.
And don't call me your dear child. It's smug and supercilious.
I'm not going to be rude.
The whole thing's been a failure, a miserable, dreary failure. And, oh, what high hopes I started out with.
You can't expect much sympathy from me, you know. I'm perfectly aware that your highest hope was to murder me.
Don't put it like that. It sounds so beastly.
It is beastly. It's one of the beastliest ideas I've ever heard.
There was a time when you'd have welcomed the chance of being with me forever and ever.
Your behaviour has shocked me immeasurably, Elvira. I'd no idea you were so unscrupulous.
Oh, Charles!
Stop crying.
They're only ghost tears. They don't mean anything, really. But they're very painful.
You've brought all this on yourself, you know.
That's right. Rub it in. Anyhow, it was only because I loved you. The silliest thing I ever did in my whole life was to love you. You were always unworthy of me.
That remark comes perilously near impertinence, Elvira.
I sat there on the other side just longing for you day after day. I did, really. If only you died before you met Ruth, everything might have been all right. She's absolutely ruined you. I hadn't been in the house a day before I realised that. Your books aren't a quarter as good as they used to be, either.
That is entirely untrue. Ruth helped me and encouraged me with my work, which is a damn sight more than you ever did.
That's probably what's wrong with them.
All you ever thought of was going to parties and enjoying yourself.
Why shouldn't I have fun?
I died young, didn't I?
You needn't have died at all. If you hadn't been idiotic enough to go out on the river with Guy Henderson and get soaked to the skin.
So we're back at Guy Henderson again.
You behaved abominably over Guy Henderson, and it's no use pretending that you didn't.
Guy adored me. And anyhow, he was very attractive.
You told me distinctly that he didn't attract you in the least.
You'd have gone through the roof if I told you that he did.
Did you have an affair with Guy Henderson?
I would rather not discuss it, if you don't mind.
Answer me, did you or didn't you?
Of course I didn't.
You let him kiss you there, didn't you?
Well, how could I stop him? He was bigger than I was.
And you swore to
me. Of course I did. You were always making scenes over nothing at all.
Nothing at all?
You never loved me a bit, really. It was only your beastly vanity.
You seriously believe that it was only vanity that upset me when you went out in the punt with Guy Henderson?
It was not a punt. It was a little launch.
I don't care if it was a 3-masted schooner. You had no right to go.
You seem to forget why I went. You seem to forget that you'd spent the entire evening making sheep's eyes at that overblown harridan with the false pearls.
A woman in Cynthia Cheviot's position would hardly wear false pearls.
They were practically all she was wearing.
There's nothing to be gained by continuing this discussion.
You always used to say that when you were thoroughly worsted.
On looking back on our married years, Elvira, I see now with horrid clarity that they were nothing but a mockery.
You invite mockery, Charles. You never suspected it, but I laughed at you steadily from the altar to the grave.
You were feckless and irresponsible and morally unstable. I realised that before we left Budley Salterton.
Nobody but a monumental bore would have thought of having a honeymoon at Budley Salterton.
Budley Salterton?
I was an eager young bride, Charles. I wanted glamour and music and romance. All I got was potted palms, 7 hours a day on a damp golf course, and a 3-piece orchestra playing Merry England.
But you didn't tell me so at the time.
I did, but you wouldn't listen. That's why I went out on the moors that day with Captain Bracegirdle. I was desperate.
You swore to me that you'd gone over to see your aunt in Exmouth.
It was the moors.
With Captain Bracegirdle?
With Captain Bracegirdle.
I might have known it. What a fool I was. What a blind fool. Did he make love to you?
Of course.
Oh, Elvira.
Only very discreetly. He was in the cavalry, you know.
Well, all I can say is I'm well rid of you.
Unfortunately, you're not.
Oh, yes, I am. You're dead and Ruth's dead. I shall sell this house, lock, stock and barrel, and go away.
I shall follow you.
I shall go a long way away. I shall go to South America. You'll hate that. You're always such a bad traveller.
That can't be helped. I shall have to follow you. You called me back.
I did not call you back.
Well, somebody did, and it's hardly likely to have been Ruth.
Nothing in the world was further from my thoughts.
You were talking about me before dinner that evening.
I might just as easily have been talking about Joan of Arc. But that wouldn't necessarily mean that I wanted her to come and live with me.
As a matter of fact, she's rather fun.
Please go away.
There's nothing I should like better. I've always believed in cutting my losses. That's why I died.
Oh, all the brazen sophistry.
Oh, call that old girl in again. Set her to work. I won't tolerate this any longer. I want to go home.
For heaven's sake, don't snivel.
Call her in. She's got to get me out of this.
I quite agree. The sooner the better. Madam McCarthy, would you please come in now?
Is the little darling still here?
Yes.
Where?
Is.
Oh, tell me where.
Over by the piano, blowing her nose.
Oh, my dear. Oh, my dear.
Oh, stop her fawning on me, Charles, or I shall break something.
Elvira and I have discussed the whole situation, Madam McCarthy, and she wishes to go home immediately. Please strain every nerve. Make every effort. Now, you said something about a formula. What is it?
Well, if you insist.
I most emphatically do insist.
And I cannot guarantee anything, you know. I'll do my best, but it may not work.
What is the formula?
Oh, nothing more than a little verse, really. It fell into disuse after the 17th century. Let me see. I shall need some pepper and some salt.
There's some pepper and salt in the dining room. I'll get it.
We ought, of course, to have some shepherd's wort and a frog or two, but I think I can manage without. You won't be frightened, will you, dear? It's absolutely painless.
Will it be enough?
Oh, yes. I only need a little. Put it on the table, please. Now, then, let me see. Ah, yes. Sprinkle it, will you? Just a soupçon there, right in the middle.
This is going to be a flop, I can tell you that, here and now.
Now, a few snapdragons out of that vase, there's a good chap.
There you are.
Merlin does all this sort of thing at parties and bores us all stiff with it.
Now then, the gramophone. We'd better have the same record we had before, I think.
I'll get it.
Elvira's getting it.
Oh, if only that Mr. Emsworth of the Psychical Research Society could see this. Oh, he'd have a fit. He really would. Don't start it yet, dear. Now then, sit down, please, Mr. Condamine. Rest your hands on the table, but don't put your fingers in the pepper. Oh, shucks, I'd nearly forgotten. One triangle, one half circle, and one little dot in the pepper and salt. There.
This is a waste of time. She's a complete fake.
Anything's worth trying.
Now, if your wife would be kind enough to lie down on the sofa.
Go on, Elvira. Oh,
this is sheer nonsense. Don't blame me if I get the giggles.
Concentrate. Think of nothing.
Hands at your sides, legs extended. Now breathe steadily. One or two. Is she comfortable?
Are you comfortable, Elvira?
No.
She's quite comfortable.
I may have to go into a slight trance, but if I do, pay no attention. First the music, and away we go. Now then, the lights. Concentrate, Mr. Condamine. Concentrate. Ghostly spectre, ghoul or fiend, nevermore be thou convened. Shepherd's wort and holy rite, banish thee into the night.
What a disagreeable little verse.
Be quiet, Elvira.
Is there anyone there? Is there anyone there? One rap for yes, two raps for no. Is there anyone there? Ah, good stuff. Is that you, Daphne? I'm sorry to bother you, dear, but Mrs. Condamine wants to return. Now then, Daphne, did you hear what I said? Can you help us?
Hold tight,
Mr. Condamine. He's trying to break away.
I can't. What's the matter, Madame Arcati? What on earth's happening? Are you hurt, Madame Arcati?
She's in one of her damn trances again. And I'm here as much as ever I was.
Madame Arcati, for God's sake, wake up.
Oh, leave her alone. She's having a whale of a time. If I ever do get back, I'll strangle that bloody little Daphne.
Ah! What happened?
Nothing. Nothing at all.
Oh, yes, it did. I know something happened.
You fell over. That's all that happened.
Is she still here?
Of course she is.
Oh, dear, something must have gone wrong.
Make her do it properly. I'm sick of being messed about.
Be quiet. She's doing her best.
Something happened. I sensed it in my trance. I felt it. It shivered through me.
Once and for all, Charles, what the hell does this mean?
Ruth!
Always irritated me. It strikes far too slowly.
It was a wedding present from Uncle Walter.
Who's Uncle Walter?
Elvira's.
All I can say is he might have chosen something a little more decorative.
If that really were all you could say, Ruth, I'm sure it would be a great comfort to us all.
You can be as rude as you like, Elvira. I don't mind a bit. As a matter of fact, I should be extremely surprised if you weren't.
I wish you two had stopped bickering for 1 minute.
This is quite definitely one of the most frustrating nights I have ever spent.
The reply to that is pretty obvious.
Now, listen to me, Elvira. If you and I have got to stay together indefinitely in this house, and it looks unpleasantly likely, we had better come to some sort of an arrangement.
What sort of an arrangement?
You're not going to stay indefinitely in this house.
With you, then. We shall have to be with you.
I don't see why. Why don't you take a cottage somewhere?
You called us back.
I've already explained until I'm black in the face that I did nothing of the sort.
Madame Arcati said you did.
Madame Arcati's a muddling old fool.
I could have told you that in the first place.
I think you're behaving very shabbily, Charles.
That is what I've done.
We have all agreed that as Elvira and I are dead, that it would be both right and proper for us to dematerialize again as soon as possible. We have allowed ourselves to be subjected to the most humiliating hocus-pocus for hours and hours without complaining.
Without complaining?
We've stood up, we've lain down, we've concentrated, we've sat interminably while that tiresome old woman recited extremely unflattering verses at us. We've endured 5 seances. We've watched her fling herself in and out of trances until she finally passed out on the sofa. And at the end of it all, we find ourselves exactly where we were at the beginning.
Well, it's not my fault.
Be that as it may, the least you could do is to admit failure gracefully and try to make the best of it. Your manners are boorish to a degree.
I'm just as exhausted as you are. I've had to do all the table tapping, remember?
If she can't get us back, she can't, and that's that. We'll have to think of something else.
She must get you back. Anything else is unthinkable.
There's gratitude for you.
Gratitude?
Yes. For all the years we've both devoted to you. You ought to be ashamed.
What about all the years I've devoted to you?
Nonsense. We've waited on you hand and foot, haven't we, Ruth? You're exceedingly selfish, and always were.
In that case, I fail to see why you were both so anxious to get back to me.
You called us back, and you've done nothing but try to get rid of us ever since we came, hasn't he, Elvira?
He certainly has.
And now, owing to your idiotic inefficiency, we find ourselves in the most mortifying position. We're neither fish, flesh, nor fowl, nor whatever it is.
Good red herring.
It can't be.
Well, why don't you do something about it? Why don't you go back on your own?
You know perfectly well we can't. The impetus has got to come from here. Perhaps darling Charles doesn't want us to go quite enough.
I certainly do.
Well, you must have a very weak will then. I always suspected it.
No use arguing any more. Wake up, Madame Arcati.
Oh, no. Not another seance, please. Not another seance.
Wake up, Madame Arcati.
What time is it?
Just after 5.
Oh, what time did I go off?
Over an hour ago.
Are they still here?
Yes.
Oh, how disappointing.
Have you any suggestions?
We mustn't give up hope. Chin up. Never give in.
The schoolgirl phraseology is driving me mad.
What do you say we have another seance and really put our shoulders to the wheel? Make it a real rouser.
Now, listen, Madame Arcati, before you go off into any further trances, I really think we ought to discuss the situation a little.
Good. An excellent idea. Fire away.
Well, my wives and I have been talking it over, and they're both absolutely convinced that I, somehow or other, called them back.
Very natural.
I'm equally convinced that I did not.
Love is a very strong psychic force, Mr. Condamine.
I did not call them back, either consciously or subconsciously.
But, Mr. Condamine, neither of them could have appeared unless there had been somebody, a psychic subject in the house, who wished for
them. Well, it wasn't me.
Perhaps it was Dr. Bradman. I never knew he cared.
Are you sure? Are you really quite sure?
Absolutely positive.
Great Scott, I believe I've been barking up the wrong tree.
How do you mean?
The Sudbury case.
I don't understand.
There is no reason why you should. It was before your day. It was the case that made me famous, Mr. Condamine. It was what you might describe in theatrical parlance as my first smash hit.
What did you do?
I dematerialized old Lady Sudbury after she'd been firmly entrenched in the private chapel for over 17 years.
Can you remember how?
Chance. A fluke. I happened on it by the merest coincidence.
What fluke? What was it?
Wait. All in good time. Now, let me see. Who was in the house during our first seance?
Only the Bradmans, Ruth, and me and yourself.
Yes, to be sure, but the Bradmans weren't here last night, were they?
No.
Quickly, my crystal.
Here.
Damn the thing. Gives me the pip. It's cloudy again. Ah, that's better. It's there again. It's there again. I'm beginning to understand.
Wish I was. What's there again?
A bandage. A white bandage. Hold on to a white bandage.
I haven't got a white bandage.
Shh.
She's too good, you know. She ought to be in a circus.
Be you in nook or cranny, answer me. Be you in still room or closet, answer me. Be you behind the panel, above the stairs, beneath the eaves, waking or sleeping, answer me. That ought to do it, or I'm a Dutchman.
Do what?
Shh. Wait.
Would you like the gramophone on, or the lights out?
No. It's near. It's very, very near.
If it's a ghost, I shall scream.
I hope it's nobody we know. I shall feel so silly.
Did you ring, sir?
The bandage. The white bandage.
No, Edith.
Oh, I'm sorry, sir. I could have sworn I heard the bell. Or somebody calling. I was asleep. I don't rightly know which it was.
Come here, child.
No, go to Madame Arcati. It's quite all right.
Whom do you see in this room, child?
You, madam.
Go on.
The master.
Anyone else?
Oh, no, madam.
Come, child, don't beat about the bush. Look again.
Do concentrate, Elvira, and keep still. I can't.
Do you see anyone else now?
Oh, no, madam.
She's lying.
Oh, madam.
They always do.
They?
Where are they now?
By the fireplace.
Ah!
She can see them. Do you mean she can see them?
Probably not very clearly, but enough.
Oh, let me go. I haven't done nothing nor seen nobody. Let me go back to bed.
Sit down.
Oh, please, sir.
No, please, do as Madame Arcati says, Edith.
Oh, I haven't done nothing wrong.
No, it's all right. Nobody said you have.
If she's been the cause of all this unpleasantness, I'll give her a week's notice tomorrow.
You may not be here tomorrow.
Look at me, Edith.
Cuckoo! Cuckoo! Oh, what's the matter with her? Is she balmy?
Here, Edith, this is my finger. Look! Have you ever seen such a long, long finger before? Look, now it's on the right, now it's on the left. Backwards and forwards it goes. See very quietly. Backwards and forwards. Tick! Tick-tock, tick-tock, tick-tock.
The mouse ran up the clock.
Be quiet, you'll ruin everything.
Well, so far so good. She's off all right.
Off?
She's a natural, just the same as the Sudbury case. It really is the most amusing coincidence. Now then, would you ask your wives to stand close together, please?
Elvira, Ruth.
I resent being ordered about like this. I don't like this at all. I don't like any of it. I feel peculiar.
I'm afraid I must insist.
It would serve you right if we flatly refused to do anything at all.
Are you sorry for having been so mischievous, Edith?
Oh, yes, madam. I believe it's going to work, whatever it is. Oh, Charles,
shh, shh, shh.
This is goodbye, Charles.
Oh, tell her to stop for a minute. There's something I want to say before I go.
I shouldn't have thought of that before. It's too late now.
Of all the mean, ungracious...
Charles, listen a moment.
Lights!
I'll be loving you always.
I saw Captain Bracegirdle again, Charles, several times. I went to the 400 with him twice when you were in Nottingham, and I must say,
don't think you're getting rid of us quite so easily, my dear. You may not be able to see us, but we shall be here.
I consider that you have behaved atrociously
over
the whole miserable business.
Splendid! Hurrah! We've done it! That's quite enough singing for now, Edith.
Shall I put on the lights?
No, I will.
They've gone. They've really gone.
Yes, I think we've really pulled it off this time.
You'd better wake Edith up, hadn't you? She might bring them back again.
Wake up, child!
Oh, good heavens!
No, it's all right, Edith. You can go back to bed now.
But I was in bed. How did I get down here?
I rang, Edith. I rang the bell and you answered it. Didn't I, Madame McCarthy?
Did I drop off? Do you think it's my concussion again? Oh,
now off you go, Edith. And thank you very much. Here's £1 for you. Thank you very much indeed.
Whatever for? Oh, sir!
What on earth do you mean by that?
Golly, what a night. I'm ready to drop in my tracks.
Would you like to stay here? There's the spare room, you know.
No, no, thank you. Each to his own nest. I'll pedal home in a jiffy. It's only 7 miles.
I'm deeply grateful to you, Madame McCarthy. I don't know what arrangements you generally make, but I trust you'll send in your account in due course.
Good heavens, Mr. Condamine, it was a pleasure. I wouldn't dream of such a thing.
Perhaps you'll give me the pleasure of lunching with me one day soon.
When you come back, I shall be delighted.
Come back?
Take my advice, Mr. Condamine, and go away immediately.
Madame McCarthy, you don't mean that...
There are more things in heaven and earth, Mr. Condamine. Just go. Pack your traps and go as soon as possible.
Do you mean to say they may still be here?
Quien sabe, as the Spaniards say.
I wonder. I'll follow your advice, Madame McCarthy. Thank you again.
Well, goodbye, Mr. Condamine. It has been fascinating. From first to last, fascinating. No, no trouble.
I can find my own way. Cheerio once more, and good hunting.
Ruth. Elvira? Are you there? I know damn well you're there. I just want to tell you that I'm going away, so there's no point in your hanging about any longer. I'm going a long way away. Somewhere where I don't believe you'll be able to follow me. In spite of what Elvira said, I don't think spirits can travel on water. Is that quite clear, my darlings? I thought so. You were very silly, Elvira, to imagine that I didn't know all about you and Captain Bracegirdle. I did. But what you didn't know was that I was extremely attached to Paula Westlake at the time. I was reasonably faithful to you, Ruth, but I doubt if it would have lasted much longer. You were becoming increasingly domineering, you know. There's nothing more off-putting than that, is there? Goodbye for the moment, my dears. I expect we're bound to meet again one day, but until we do, I'm going to enjoy myself as I never enjoyed myself before. Break up the house as much as you like. I'm leaving it anyhow. Think kindly of me. Send out good thoughts. Goodbye again. Parting is such sweet sorrow.
Blythe Spirit by Noel Card, Paul Ennington was Charles Condamine, Julia Mackenzie, Ruth, Anna Massey, Elvira, and Peggy Mount, Madame Arcati. Dr. Bradman was played by Richard Pearson, Mrs. Bradman by Jane Wenham, and Edith by Jill Lidstone. The play was directed by Glyn Dearman.